What a night to be together. I love that we sang that song. Pastor Dale mentioned that actually this past Sunday, the hymn Joy to the World, great hymn by Isaac Watts. And it's actually not purely a Christmas song. It really is looking to the second coming. And so what an appropriate thing to sing on the night where really these two Advents kind of come together. The idea of waiting for the Messiah, and then when we think of Jesus, really is the reminder of what's going on Christmas is a point to the day he will come to us again. So I love this night. I love the baby noises. So if you're a baby in here and you're making noise, it's totally fine. I know you didn't hear any of the words I just said, but if you're the parent of a baby in here making noise, it just adds to the ambiance on Christmas Eve. So you know, don't be scared. Maybe you don't want them to make the noise, but we don't mind. I'm speaking for everyone, I think. But there's nothing quite like though the calm and quiet anticipation of Christmas Eve. I think you feel it. I feel it. And even if you don't, isn't there just on a night like tonight some feeling of nostalgia for maybe some good feeling of Christmas's past? Well, here's a spoiler alert. Something incredible really is here. God really is with us. But I think if we're honest, as we kind of see and are participating in the culture around us approaching this season, we can sense a sort of pressure. Maybe even tonight, even people who don't know Jesus, as they go into the Christmas season, kind of feel this pressure. Clark Griswold felt the pressure. Like he was trying to recapture some past Christmas magic to recreate the ultimate Christmas. That's what we want. We long to be swept up into the feeling of love and peace. We want something transcendent. We want to be swept up into the spirit. Well, what does that mean? The spirit of Christmas, of course. You've seen the TV specials. You've sung the songs. Our world badly wants to feel deep and lasting joy. Like if you pay attention, that longing, you'll see it everywhere. One of my favorite embodiments of this is Bill Murray's version of Ebenezer Scrooge. And he says this, as this is Scrooge speaking, he says, Christmas is the one night of the year when we all act a little nicer, we all smile a little easier, we cheer a little more. For a couple hours out of the whole year, we are the people that we always hoped we would be. We all want to transcend our little existence into something bigger. And yet, all the world has to offer to that end is style rather than substance. It's just find some joyful feelings rather than actual joy. It's beautiful packaging rather than deep beauty. And so we participate in a different way, but we participate in some of the same trimmings. We pull out the lights, we dabble in the music and the fireplaces and the parties and the presents. And our world is doing this all in an effort to feel something warm, something lasting. But instead of deep and lasting joy, those warm feelings don't last any longer than it takes to shovel all the wrapping paper into the contractor bag on Christmas morning. So, now that we've started with a real downer, I want to give some Christmas Eve hope. The real Christmas won't disappoint. In fact, it's in this great little scene with the shepherds and the angel in Luke chapter 2. That I think in it we see three Christmas hopes that are really ours tonight. And so I just want to go through each of these three hopes. First, the first hope is this: Christmas is today. There you go, it's Christmas Eve, actually, Kevin. But go with me here. Christmas is today. Look at Luke chapter 2, starting in verse 10. It says this: But the angel said to them, "Don't be afraid, for look, I proclaim to you good news of great joy that will be for all the people. Today, in the city of David, a Savior was born." You see, Christmas is not an idea or a philosophy or a charitable way to live, Christmas is an event that happened. Christmas is about something we didn't have. We didn't have joy. We lacked peace. We didn't know how to gain it. And at an exact moment, in a real place, that all changed. The one we needed came to us. It happened. The angel doesn't show up with Bing Crosby tunes, although that would be quite a sight. The angel didn't show up and bring cold weather, which I think goes to show us that there's still something holy about our even sadly warm Christmas. The angel didn't show up bringing baked goods or even presents. No, the scriptures won't let us dabble in just the frosting of Christmas. No, the angels don't announce the smells of Christmas. The angel brings the feast. And when the good news comes, it's not just going to feel better, it's going to be better. Why? Because Christmas happened. It's not just an idea, it's something that happened. The very one we needed came. And so even now, it isn't just a feeling we're waiting for tonight or tomorrow. Christmas now is news of an event, a proclamation of what Jesus has done for us. Christmas isn't just a present you're hoping for tomorrow. Christmas doesn't depend on how much you do or don't enjoy all of your family festivities over the next couple of days. Christmas doesn't even rest on how much the gifts you give are appreciated back to you. No, Christmas is something that happened. The angel said, today a Savior is born. And that means for us today, he is with us. Christmas is today. The angel continues in verse 11. Today in the city of David, a Savior is born for you, who is the Messiah, the Lord. The second hope tonight is Christmas is a mystery. Christmas is a mystery. Maybe what's even more astonishing isn't simply that God came to us, but rather how he came. Think for a minute about the stars. We have these amazing, I love the Webb telescope, and beautiful, incredible pictures. Many of us grew up on the Hubble telescope. Sorry if that makes some of you feel old. You're like, I didn't grow up on the Hubble telescope. It just came out a few years ago, right? The star fields, the galaxies, the light emanating from dead stars. I think the one on your left over here is a dead star we're still seeing light from hundreds of years later. So imagine the night sky now on the night where the angel shows up in the sky to the shepherds, minus all the lights and the trees that we have here that obscure the sky. And so whether it's them getting to see probably what was an amazing night sky, the pitch black of night, or it's you and me staring at pictures like this, seeing truly fearsome and awesome things. The mystery of Christmas says this, that the one who holds those galaxies and stars is here in Bethlehem. He's like there. They could point at him. The one who created life itself, the one who invented fingers, is right there with little baby fingers, probably balled up in little baby fists, with little baby fat rolls, crying when he's hungry, nursing at his mom's breast, and now sleeping in a feeding trough for animals. The Lord of the universe is not just, as we sing, veiled in flesh, the Godhead. See, it's one of my favorite Christmas lines, veiled in flesh. He's not just that. He was also veiled, obscured in other ways. Not just that he was a man, but he was hidden from us, seeing who he truly was. How else? He was hidden. He was veiled by being in a manger. He was veiled by having barn animals as roommates. He was veiled by the lack of fanfare and rightful worship that was due him. Oh, but despite his little tiny fingers, despite the dingy dirt that he came to, despite being hidden in this hole in the wall town called Bethlehem, he is still Emmanuel, the Lord of all with us. What a mystery that in this dusty manger, in those tiny little hands, every promise of our heart was fulfilled. Ultimate peace. Not just the idea of peace, but he himself is our ultimate peace. And this mystery should leave us dumbfounded that the one who could make all of that would be there for us, our Lord. One of my favorite things to read at Christmas is a poem by John Shea. And pardon me if I've read this to you before, I'm sorry, I can't help myself. It's a child's prayer called Sharon's Christmas Prayer. And listen to how this child, Sharon, responds to the mystery of the incarnation. John Shea writes it like this. She was five, sure of the facts and recited them with slow solemnity, convinced every word was revelation. She said, they were so poor. They had only peanut butter and jelly sandwiches to eat. And they went a long, long way from home without getting lost. The lady rode a donkey, the man walked, and the baby was inside the lady. They had to stay in a stable with an ox and an ass, hee hee. Sorry, parents. But the three rich men found them because a star lighted the roof. Shepherds came, and you could pet the sheep but not feed them. Then the baby was born. And do you know who he was? Her quarter eyes inflated to silver dollars. The baby was God. The baby was God. And then she jumped in the air, whirled around, dove into the sofa, and buried her head under the cushion, which is the only proper response to the good news of the incarnation. God was born. It's the ancient hymn, O Magnum Mysterium. It's Latin. It just says, oh, great mystery. If you don't want to bury your head in couch cushions and you like a little higher form of worship, here's some Latin for you. O Magnum Mysterium. The great mystery that animals should see the newborn Lord lying in a manger. Sometimes I like to ponder the physics of that night. Just the physical reality of what was going on. Like, do you think the atmosphere just felt different? As the Lord of all the creation, the creator of atmosphere, entered into the world. Like, I just want to think that, like, the barometric pressure just shifted in some way. Do you think as he grew up, as he was a boy growing up walking in Galilee, that when he walked past a Galilean tree, do you think the trees just bent a little like a plant reaching for the sunlight? Friends, when Christmas happened, the Lord of the universe, the King of all creation, entered into the world he made. Micah calls him the Ancient of Days, which means he was around before there were days, yet he was willing to have a birthday. Martin Luther calls the incarnation left-handed power. Sorry to all you left-handed people out there. But he says the world's sort of power is right-handed power. He's saying that's like the real strong and mean power. Sorry, right-handers, I guess. But Christ comes not as a king of force, but as a king who took on weakness. Let the mystery overwhelm you. And you can be dumbfounded in Latin, or you can bury your head in the sofa. Either way, let it overwhelm you. J.I. Packer says this, the more you think about it, the more staggering it gets. Nothing in fiction is so fantastic as this truth of the incarnation. God with us. So Christmas is today. Christmas is a mystery. And lastly, Christmas is for you. Once more in verse 11, we read, today in the city of David, a Savior was born for you. For you. don't know if you've ever been to a concert. I'm sure many of you have, where you want to see someone famous in concert. And maybe for a brief moment, the lure of their celebrity or the camaraderie of the crowd made you kind of feel lifted up into the moment. Maybe that the artist even shouted out from the stage, "Houston, we love you." And you thought, "Huh, they really do. They love us. It's really great." But of course, the tour moves on. And as the light of their presence waned, it was clear to see this celebrity, this musician, sure they were nearby, at a distance though. You see, they weren't here to see me. I was here to see them. But folks, the incarnation of Jesus, the Messiah, the Lord, was no coronation concert. Jesus wasn't an honored dignitary making a brief tour stop on earth. No, Jesus didn't come to be admired from afar. He came all the way to you. He met you on the back row. He joined you in the dirt. He entered into all the pain of your disappointments, everything you're facing, everything that has troubled you, that's caused aches in your own soul. He meets you there, all the way there. He meets you in the shame of your sin and your addictions. He comes to you in the sadness of your heartaches and your loneliness. And he comes not simply to urge you forward with good feelings and personal transcendence to overcome. No, he knows we could never lift ourselves up. We could never forgive our own sin. We could never overcome our own pain and grief. We could never even receive love. So he came to lift us out. By his death and resurrection, he makes us clean. He forgives us. He pours us out, pours out on us his love and makes us able to receive it. The only way he could lift us out of our brokenness was to come and be broken for us. Augustine, the great theologian, said it this way. He took upon himself what he was not, meaning he took upon humanity, that he might give us what we were not. Friends, the Lord was hungry so you might be fed. He took on weakness so that you might receive strength. He was born to die so that you might live forever. Oh, what astounding love that Jesus gives us himself. So if you feel the pressure to feel a certain way tonight, relax. Christmas is not about being roused up to be a better person than you ever hoped or striving to join God in the stars. No, you can rest because the one who made the stars became small so we might be raised up. And wouldn't it be a shame if tonight and tomorrow morning in all of our celebrations, we were just chasing after a feeling? If we pinned our hopes on the empty glow of the Christmas spirit and how we can rouse up ourselves to feel a certain way rather than allowing our souls to be warmed by Jesus himself. So enjoy the songs. Enjoy the feast, enjoy the parties. I think Jesus loves our celebrations. He's no curmudgeon. Have a blast with your family. Give good gifts. But every now and then in this season, just pause and bury your hands in your head in your hands. Or even better, if there's a couch cushion nearby, bury your head in the cushions. Shout out, oh, monum mysterium, great mystery. Why? Because the baby is God. And he came to be with us. God is with us tonight. He comes to you tonight. Even if you don't know him yet, know this, he has come that you might know life, that you might have hope beyond the style, but rather a hope of substance that is found only in your Maker, Emmanuel. God with us. Merry Christmas, Redeemer. Let's pray. Oh, Father, we thank you that you have been so kind to us, that you would come and make yourself known, the God of all, that Christ would come, that we might not be alone, lost in our sin, lost in our loneliness, lost in our disappointments, but that we would see one who was willing to face the fears and disappointments and pains, to take the punishment of our sin, that we might live. So Lord, would you help us in this season to live, to rejoice in the incarnate and now risen and reigning perfect Lamb of God. We love you, and we pray this in Christ's name.